Isn't that nice? What's the name of our church here?
New Life Center of Truth.
My God, I wouldn't really want to be a person walking down the street standing next to you and asking you, what's the name of the church? You say,
My church name.
The church name?
New Life Center of Truth.
New Life Center of Truth. And where is it located?
2400 Snyder Avenue between Bedford and Rogers.
In
Brooklyn.
You think that's the only place in the world, Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, New York.
It is. The only wonderful place in the world is Brooklyn, New York. And how did we get here? I'm sorry?
Taxi, bus.
Oh, I don't mean to this particular place. How did we arrive at Brooklyn, New York? What makes Brooklyn, New York so wonderful? What makes Brooklyn, New York so wonderful? Right, because you are here. That's what makes Brooklyn so wonderful. And you know what Brooklyn would do if you left? They'd all follow you. They'd say, she must know something, and I'm going to go where she's going, because she's wonderful. Right? Come along. I haven't started yet. I'm just talking. I'm just talking. When we say 1 o'clock, I always attempt to begin at 1 o'clock. Come on up. You want to sit down here, up there? What do you want to do?
No, I'll sit down here while you speak.
You sit down here while I speak.
Just call to order now.
You want to call it to order now?
Yeah, now. So you ready?
I'm ready. You want the microphone?
Okay.
The mistress of magic, song, music, and everything good will call us to order.
Okay.
It's not turned on.
No, these words. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For love is my life. Let's go. There is sunshine
in my soul today.
More glorious and bright.
More glorious and bright.
Than glows in any earthly sky. For love is my life.
For love is my life.
Oh, there is sunshine.
Oh, there's sunshine.
Blessed sunshine.
While
the peaceful,
happy moments roam.
When love shows
its smiling face.
There is sunshine
in my soul.
There is springtime in my soul
today.
God in us for attracting to us our wonderful
leader, inspirational speaker. We ask, O God, that each and every one of us now open our hearts so that as you work in and through us, we will be able to flow along as we are now open and receptive to this message today. Take complete control of this service as you allow yourself to work in and through this our leader. And we give thanks that as we leave here, we are strengthened, we are illumined, and we are filled with more and more of your wisdom and understanding so that we can live a life of peace, joy, and eternal happiness now and forevermore. And together we say amen.
Amen.
And now, Dr. Verily is no stranger to us. He has been coming here for the longest time. He allowed his light to shine in and through us. And this light that he carries, and I always tell you that Dr. Verily don't sleep. He is always thinking in this scientific way. And he doesn't hold it to himself. He brings it out to everyone all over the world. And today we are so fortunate and we are so happy that he can come and spend this time with us. And we know for sure, Dr. Verily, when you leave here, we are full of me. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Right.
Okay. And you would like this to be used?
Yes, if you want to.
Well,
you can go upstairs, you know.
Oh, no, I mean, this is for the speakers or for your recording or for just
nothing? No, just you.
Just me?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So we'll do you all hear me very well with and without it?
Yes.
So I'll just carry it around to wave and clock, clock, knock people on the head. Okay, thank you.
Done.
All right. So here we go. Come right up. The water's fine. This is the flyer that we have for the New Life Center of Truth here. And it tells what we're going to do today. And just for your benefit, I will... Oh, you have it already?
I'll get one.
No, that's okay. I'll read it. Mm-hmm. And then we'll follow it today as we have our talk together.
I think we have more of those outside.
So, forthcoming seminar, you ask the questions, the stem cells are the answers. You ask the questions, the stem cells are the answers. And our talk today, how I utilize my 10,000 undifferentiated stem cells born daily in my brain. How I will use them. And the area that we're going to be thinking in, science gives a report, training my genie stem cells. My body is my thought, stem cells do my bidding. How I activate my brain stem cells. The practitioner lives in me using the tool of unconditional love, advanced psychology application. Science, medicine, religion, philosophy is mental understanding. I do not have to die. My cells live eternally. Singing directs my undifferentiated stem cells. I am perfect health, comfort, and immortality. And tomorrow for our church service, we're going to say, my body is my thought, all genie stem cells. And we will have a lot of fun tomorrow. But today, we're going to do the fundamentals. And we're going to have a lot of fun with the fundamentals. For a forthcoming series of seminars that I'll be giving in Europe next year, I'm calling them science, medicine, metaphysics of life and or death. And I'd like to just read this sheet to you. We'll be sending it out on our email, and you'll be having it if you wish it. But it sort of gives us a rundown of some of the things that are happening. Do you think you can live forever? No. See what she did? She went like this. Well, not in this body, and not in this mental attitude, and not in this crazy mixed up world, and who wants to live in that sort of a situation, you know, more or less. And true. Who would want to live in this crazy situation? My dear, there are, what do they call them? Flies. What are the flies called? Anybody know the name of the flies? Fruit flies. You know what a fruit fly is? A fruit fly is a fly that gets on your fruit. A fruit fly is an instrument that the scientists use because it's very convenient to use. And they take these fruit flies and they use them to demonstrate things, because a fruit fly lives its lifespan in a very short time. So when a fruit fly lives its life, they can catalog it quite nicely and quite easily. And for instance, I don't know what a fruit fly is, maybe their lifespan, but maybe it's a matter of days or maybe hours. And so the scientists, when they can prove that a fruit fly, because of certain conditions, doubles its lifespan, they think that's pretty wonderful. And if a fruit fly can double its lifespan, they can too. And that is what is being done by one scientist. Science, medicine, metaphysics of life and or death. Metaphysics is outside the basic science and medicine for allowing for causation of existence. The principle which governs the judgmental nature of reality. Metaphysics is loving myself for no good reason. A metaphysician loves himself for no good reason. God had no reason whatsoever to create the earth, to create man, to create the sand on the seashore, to create the raindrops, to create the snowflakes, each different. God had no purpose for doing this. And neither does a philosopher or a metaphysician. Metaphysics is loving myself for no good reason. No. Physical science and medical science require all to be logical and reasonable. Science and medicine reconcile with the concept that the limit of human lifespan is the limit of human technology. And of course, this is what science is coming up with. But little by little, science is reaching over into the area of metaphysics, where they reach over in the area of spiritual attitudes of all is immortal, all is eternal. So, metaphysics, science, it tells here, metaphysicians know that each cell is immortal, as is each soul. Metaphysics uses the tool of unconditional love to be fulfilled. By tricking natural selection, one scientist, an evolutionary biologist at the University of California in Irvine, Michael Rose, reporting in Discovery magazine, he said he waits until the fruit flies are older before letting them reproduce. He doesn't just let these young fruit flies go out and reproduce. Now, that's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? Got to keep the males and the females apart. So he keeps them apart until they're mature adults. Until they're mature adults. And theoretically, they should die. Because they're now mature adults and a few more moments and they should die. But then, in their maturity, he puts these mature fruit flies, male and female together, and lets them reproduce, and they live twice the length of their normal life. Because they haven't programmed themselves to live, reproduce, and die. They have programmed themselves now to live and live and live and live, then reproduce, and then live and live and live some more. Like he says here, the ones who have already proven they can live that long and have the physiological wherewithal to reproduce, multiply generations of this procedure, make them live long, more than twice as long. Metaphysics is the art and science of eternal attitude. Fruit flies can potentially live forever. They do not because they have a higher likelihood of dying by accident. Metaphysics is using the mind to utilize the brain. To age means that you are less and less able to survive and reproduce with time. But aging is in no sense any basic feature of cell biochemistry. There are lots of organisms that have the same kind of cells that we have, but do not have any aging at all. Do you know that? Lots of cell organisms that have the same cells that we do that don't age. Now here's the names of them, kind of interesting characters. Organisms like hydras, sea anemone. You know what a sea anemone is? That's this little starfish type of thing that's in the ocean, you know? Okay. Hydras, that's a thing in the ocean too, you know, that swims around. Hydras, sea anemones, and some types of flatworms, and quite a few grasses and shrub species. Aging just is not some God-given inevitable thing. It is something you can change and control. Beautiful. Metaphysics deals with the undifferentiated stem cells, guiding them in their beneficial use to the user. Tested fruit flies have postponed aging and also have enhanced personal performance. These flies are dynamic and vigorous, while normal flies are barely moving around at that point in their life. Metaphysics is a factor of us, which is vital, dynamic, and alive. Humans might live longer from the scientific point of view by finding an enzyme which slows down the aging process or even reverses it. But scientists are cautious on this because aging is quite a complex operation. Metaphysics is unhampered by complexity, since it issues the command to do the simple thing of be myself and have fun. Be myself and have fun. Not too long ago, very recently, years, maybe decades, but not too long ago, the scientific community found that the stem cells in the placenta or in the newborn baby are so magnificent, so pure. The stem cell is the undifferentiated cell which is told by something to do something. In the body, in the brain, the stem cells are there, undifferentiated, not told what to do yet, and they're going to be your eyes. They're going to be your nose. They'll be your ears. They'll be this differentiation. This will be the thing that they're told to do. And those cells are popping out of your brain every single day, 10,000 of them. Actually, many more throughout your entire body. And these 10,000 cells that are coming out of your brain right now, they're just sort of flowing out of your brain. And you know what they're saying? Mama, what can we do? Where can we go play? What do you want us to do, Mama? How do you want us to be? I'm sick and tired of hearing you. Oh, then we'll be sick and tired with you. Ooh. Yeah. You got to be careful what you say to the kids, don't you? Be real careful. As the kids pick it up and they follow it. So, you say to these stem cells, I'm whole and perfect, I'm fantastic, I'm glorious, I'm magic. And then the stem cells say, I like playing that game. You know that? The stem cells say, I like playing the game of magic, because that's a good game. And what happens when these stem cells start playing the game of magic? It doesn't matter what it is. They don't care whether you want to be sick or well, healthy or sad, you know, whether you want to be rich or poor, or whether you want to have lots of friends around you. Who knows what the thing is that creates friends in anybody? It's one word, and it's a word that is used differently oftentimes. The word is charisma. Attitude, charisma. People love Dolores here, D-O-L-O-R-E-S, because she is Dolores. And they think that Dolores is a super girl. They think her students in school in Canada come up and say, "Oh, Missy, Missy, I love you." She goes down to Africa, and what nation was that that you were in?
Zimbabwe.
And she was there, and she was teaching in one of the African schools, all African kids, all black kids. And she was teaching, and they came up to her after a while, and they said, "Missy, white Missy, oh, white lady, oh, white teacher." And they called her a white teacher, because she was teaching in the style of the white teachers who had come down there to teach. Because she was learning, she had been teaching in Canada, which is a very multicultural community. And so, you see, that's what they thought of her. But you know what they thought of her? They didn't think of her as a white teacher. They thought of her as a very special teacher. Because she didn't care about any of their problems. She was a cold fish. And she went around there, and she didn't give a hoot and holler in hell what their problems were. All she said was, "Hey, how can I help you? What can I do for you? You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You're so fantastic. You've got so many things that you can do that you haven't even begun to do." You see, already, years and years ago, she was using these white stem cells as her teachers. And as her guides and her trainees. And she would go in there and she would say, "Now, you tell these white stem cells or these beautiful undifferentiated stem cells what you want them to do. Do you want these undifferentiated stem cells to be your perfect eyes? Your perfect ears? Your perfect mind?" Well, you can't do much about that, can you? The mind is universal. But the perfect brain. Did you know that? The perfect brain. And the perfect brain is the brain that is open. How many of you have ever made coffee with a coffee filter, you know? And you put the coffee grounds in there, and then you cook them, and you make your coffee. And sometimes you don't clean the pot, because that helps to make the coffee taste better, according to some older generation people. But younger generation people, they like it spick and span. They like it clean as a whistle. They don't like that other flavor in there. Now, our lives are like the coffee pot. And we put the coffee grounds in there. And what are the coffee grounds? From where? Bolivia?
Brazil.
Where?
Brazil.
Where do they come?
Brazil.
Yeah. Brazil. They come from Brazil. And what kind of coffee grounds are they from Brazil? The best, right? Yeah. They're the best coffee you can buy. And then you put them in your coffee pot. And you put them into your filter thing. And as you put them in there, you make your coffee. And your coffee is going through it once. And it's sort of weak coffee. That's how each of us are right now. We're weak coffee. And then you let it go through again, and then it gets a little stronger. And you let it percolate through there. You heard the word percolate? It's percolating through there. And when it percolates through there, it gets stronger and stronger. But you have to know when to shut the pot off. Because otherwise, it'll get so strong, it'll be like tar. And it'd be like what the Italians like to drink. They like it when it's tar. They think tar is just wonderful. But our brain is like the filter in the coffee pot. Our brain allows out of the universal allness. I know that I know that I know. The divine in me knows the answer, you know. Out of the universal allness, our brain allows only so much of that allness to be into our usefulness. And then we say things like, "I can't do this," or "I can't do that," or "I don't know that," or "I haven't been to school." Son, when you go to school, Nobody's going to teach anything to you. You know what they're going to do? They're going to show you that you already know everything, and they're going to help you to reveal it. You already know everything, and they're going to help you to reveal it. This is what Dolores is doing to her students. She's helping them reveal that they already know everything. Now, do you have the ability, the courage, to say, I already know everything? Do you have the ability to say to yourself, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer on anything? That takes courage. Because people are going to say, prove it. Thanks a lot, you know. But keep practicing. Keep practicing. Keep practicing. Remember our friend Demosthenes? Demosthenes was an orator back in ancient times. I think he was Roman. And Demosthenes had a lisp, and you couldn't speak. He was speaking through a lisp. And one of the wise people said to him, Demosthenes, go down to the beach, down to the ocean, down to the sea, and pick up some pebbles, beautiful little pebbles, and put them in your mouth. And then, as the beach is roaring in, the tide is going in and out, and the ocean waves are booming around, just say, I am Demosthenes, I am Demosthenes, I am Demosthenes, I am Demosthenes, you know. And within a very short time, he could speak clearly with a mouthful of stones. He could speak clearly with a mouthful of stones. And then he spoke more and more confidently, more and more clearly, more and more beautifully, by practice, practice, practice. The ability was always there, but it was hidden behind what he called a lisp, something that seemingly was physiological and could not be overcome, could not be changed at all. But he worked on himself, and he became one of the greatest orators in all of Rome. He became one of the greatest speakers because he had self-confidence. He had to have, you know, talking over all those stones in his mouth. And everyone loved him because he went against all odds. Everyone told him, impossible, it cannot be done. But he applied himself and became this great orator. Now, what was he doing? He was unleashing the grains in his coffee pot. He was opening up the universal knowledge, which is the coffee grains, you know, the coffee seeds. And he was opening them up so that they could get in through his system. Now, if he were like the Italians and had tar for his coffee, perhaps he could learn faster and faster. Maybe that's why the Italians like to speak so quickly and speak so loudly and speak so strongly. But nonetheless, what about you? Are you willing to begin to allow this to happen? How did he have the ability to speak when he had a physiological lisp that kept him from having normal use of his tongue and his lips and his mouth? How could he do that? And that's a real thing. That's a real, real thing that's right there that's keeping him from expressing himself. Well, he wasn't afraid of it. He didn't know what was going to happen. He was just told to go down there and put stones in his mouth and talk over the stones, over the roar of the sea. And he did it. Now, I say to you, as our first step here in our spiritual evolution, if each one of you will say, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. Do you know what's going to happen to you? All of those 10,000 stem cells that are peeking out, getting ready to pop into being, they're looking at you and they're saying, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to be? What do you want me to think? What do you want me to act upon? And then they're going to act upon the idea that I know, that I know, that I know, the divine in me knows the answer. And you see, there's not just one factor being expressed there. The factors are, number one, you're divine. The divine in you is expressing it. See, that, but you're not saying that to yourself. You're just saying, that's just a nice thing to say. The divine in me knows the answer. Yeah. And then, as you say that, then the divine in you is freed to respond. And I know, I, this me, this person here, who I am, I know. That's why in early biblical statements they often say, I am that I am. I am that I am. Wonderful things happen when you say that. When the centurion came to Jesus and said, hey, heal my servant, he's got a problem. Jesus says, okay, I'll come. And the centurion said, no, you don't have to. You just tell me what to do, and I will tell my servant what to do, and he will do it because I know how to give orders, I know how to give command, and he will follow it. And so Jesus told him. And then Jesus said to him, nowhere in all of Israel have I seen a man of such confidence, such ability as you, such faith. And of course, shortly thereafter, the man was going back to his town, and his servants came along the way, and they said, oh, Master, Master, he's healed. He's whole and perfect. He perhaps was even in the group that came along the road. But they didn't tell us that. But, you see, our words have power. Our words have strength. It is the word of this centurion in his mind just to think the thought for his servant. This man was indentured to this man. This man was a military man. And he was saying to whoever works with him, I am your daddy. I am your father. I am looking after you. I am taking care of you. I am responsible for you. Now, this is what you want to do with your own brain, your own mind, your own inner self. You have within you these 10,000 stem cells every single day born waiting to be told what to do. Now, this is not strange. This is not something unusual. This is something quite real. There's a recent article out about this this man who is taking individual stem cells. He's a scientist. He's taking these individual stem cells and he's putting them in a liver. He's inserting them into the liver, which is quite a trick. He's inserting it into the heart. One cell. Over in China, the surgeons in China, and this has been reported quite often in scientific magazines, the surgeons in China are taking a whole bunch of stem cells out of the placentas and out of the various places there where they get these undifferentiated cells and bombarding them into the head of this one young man who had a brain tumor, which was quite difficult. And as they bombarded it into his head, of course, that was kind of a, what would you say, an angry way to do it. A very angry way to do it. And the cells in the brain, the cells in the head and the brain responded a little. He was able to move his fingers a little bit. He was able to open his eyes a little bit. He was able to do a few things, which they thought was miraculous. And of course it was. But I say to you, if you will be the gentle soul that you are, and if you will go to your brain, and you can, you know, and you go to your brain and you say, brain, you don't have to say my brain, you know, just say, brain, how you doing? Have you ever had a talk with God? Yeah, joke, joke. Have you ever had a talk with God? Yeah, it is a joke. God is you. Have you ever taken time to meditate and talk to God inside of yourself? And say, God, what do you have me do? What direction should I go? What sort of thoughts should I think, God? And God says, one four-letter word. What does he say? Love, love, love. God is love. In us, God, the only thing that exists is love. It doesn't go bombarding our brains with all of these beautiful stem cells to do their work. It gently directs them and says, hey, I'm having a party. Come on and have a party with me. I'm having a party of thinking good thoughts. I'm having a party of saying everything is good. Everything is wonderful. The world is wonderful. Everything in the world is fantastic. Everything is beautiful. That's what I'm having a party for. Are you going to come to that party? Yeah? And are we going to have good stuff at that party? Oh, you bet. Are there going to be lots of boys and girls at the party? Yeah, lots of stem cells. Mm-hmm. Brand new baby stem cells right from our brain. And what are these baby stem cells going to be wanting to do? They're going to do whatever anybody else is doing. And if everybody else is having a good time, those stem cells are going to have a good time. If everybody else is getting drunk and, you know, crashed out of their mind, then that's what the stem cells will do. They won't say that's bad. You know what they'll say? That's what it is. I do whatever it is that the program is. That's my work. That's my life. That's where I'm going. Anything you want me to do, I will do. Nobody has ever said this in the entire history of humanity. Nobody. Nobody except me. Nobody. Nobody's ever said this in the entire history of humanity. Except for people who have positive thinking. They say, what wouldst thou of me? I am the Christ. I can only see the purity in you. If that's what you want, you got it. You want something different than that? I'm not on the board. I'm not working. You want truth from me? Then that's what you get. You see, this is why it is so important for teachers, parents, and children to remember one thing. You are known by the people you associate with. Now that sounds like we've all heard that before and we've all had it, you know, put down into us in a lot of different ways. But you're known by the people you associate with. Because you associate with somebody and they're not nice. What happens after you associate with them? What happens? They become nice. They cannot stay unnice in a nice person's presence. You see, we are known by the people we associate with. Because if I associate with Evelyn here, and I run around with Evelyn and we do neat things together, people say, oh, Herb and Evelyn are a good team, you know. But if all of a sudden I go off on a tangent, and Evelyn says, well, Herb, you're going on a different trip than I am. See you later. And Evelyn continues on her straight and narrow path and on her beautiful path of love and peace. And I go off on some other way. You see, I have to leave her. I have to leave her. If I do not take on the purity and goodness of her consciousness, I cannot stay. She will not accept mine because she is like this. She says, if you are pure and good and beautiful, the door is open. If you're not pure and good and beautiful, hey, on your way. On your way. One of my students, his son, he's a very wealthy man. His son is a very outstanding young man. He was in high school in Switzerland. And the father said to the boy, how come you're not going out with your friends? You're staying in your room. He's a herpetologist. He loves playing with his snakes and his lizards and his other creatures like that. And he's doing just great. How come you're not going out and playing with your friends? And the kid didn't want to say. So he went out. And then after a while, he came back in. You weren't out long enough. Why don't you play with your friends? You know, because his friends had been very devoted and very good to him for a long time. And he says, well, Dad, I don't want to talk about it, but I'll tell you. I am not playing with those kids anymore because they have chosen to go and use drugs. And I don't use drugs. So I am not associating with them while they're using. If they ever stop using drugs, they'll still be my devoted friends. But as long as they're using drugs, they're not my friends anymore. I don't choose to run around with them. I don't choose to be in their presence and say, oh, come on, try something, come on, come on. I don't need that. I'm strong enough to say I don't want it, and I don't participate in it. But I will not be in a group of people who are doing things that I do not believe in. But you could be such a very powerful tool in their life. Dad, who am I? Who am I? Anybody know? What's that loud? Number one. I'm number one. I am not here to change the world. I am not here to make the world better. I am not here to make people happy. I am not here to uplift the downtrodden and the sick and the poor. If you think that's what you've been taught, you're wrong. You are here to be a living example of purity and goodness. Do you know Jesus, the man, was quite an uncaring person? He'd go down the streets. And you know, all the roadsides were filled with beggars and blind people and people with all sorts of illnesses that were, what kind of things did they have in those days? Who cares? But they had all these things. And one woman came up and touched Jesus' garment. I mean, she had the effrontery to do that. And he says, who did that? Who touched me? Who touched my purity? And the woman said it. And he says, you're whole. And the woman said, but I have been with this issue of blood for so long, so many years. Jesus said, shut up, silly lady. You touched me. You're whole and perfect. Anything that touches my life is whole and perfect. I don't go around touching everybody laying at the side of the road. If there were hospitals in Jesus' time, why didn't Jesus go in the hospital and say, come on, rise, you guys, you know, shake up, shape up. Get out of bed, pick up your beds and walk. People who came to him, he did that. But you see, he said, it is done unto you according to your belief. And it is not up to us to tell other people what their belief should be. I don't tell you what your belief should be. I don't really care. I don't care what your beliefs may be. You may be the most interesting people in the universe, but I don't care. Because I am blind. I am blinded by the light in me that sees you and you and you. All my reflection, my purity, my wholeness, anything good about me, I see in you. And I don't know anything else about you. I only know that I like me and I like everyone in my world. I like me, and I like everyone in my world. I haven't met a person that I didn't want to hug. The people that I don't want to hug never come around. No, I never met a person I didn't like to hug. Everywhere I go. All of you who are here today, you're here today for one reason. You don't know it, but you're here today for one reason. You're here today to be a traffic director. You're here today to decide what's going to go on with your 10,000 stem cells every day. Are you going to direct them into your old habits, your old thoughts, your thoughts that said you're going to die, your thoughts that said you're going to be sick, your thoughts that said you're going to be unhappy in any way? Are you going to direct them into that pattern? Or are you going to direct your stem cells into, come on, it's party time, it's happy time, we're all being vital, dynamic, alive. And, wow, yes. And then the stem cells say, I like this. It's a pretty cool operation, you know. And they do. And then somebody else is experiencing cancer. We use that just because it's an easy term. Somebody else is experiencing cancer. And the cancer, this person right here. No, not you guys here. It's somebody right here. And this person right here. And so that person right there is experiencing cancer. And they say, oh, look at my cancer. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at that, you know. And I say, look, you silly cow. Don't you realize you're whole and perfect? No, can't you see what I am? Yes, I can see what you are. You're whole and perfect. I can see the divinity in you. I can see the magnificence in you. I can see the goodness in you. I can see the allness in you. But don't you realize? No, I cannot see you with a list. Put some stones in your mouth. But it's not that easy. It is just that easy. Change your thinking. Change your thinking to realizing that you are wonderful. You are good. You are divine. You are fantastic. And when you do that, then you are fantastic. Now, I have a 3-mile walk around my campus, 104 acres down in Southern California, uphill, down, all over the place. It's a wonderful, wonderful walk. And I'm fantastic. I'm healthy. I'm whole. I'm perfect. I'm beautiful. I'm wonderful. But I walk around that path every single day and I say, I'm whole and perfect, 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 whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. I like me, I like me, I like me. And I sing all these neat things to myself. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind. I keep reminding myself of what is going on because I am living with people on campus who are doing the same thing. And some of them might not have chosen to make the step into the fully revealing it yet. Actually, they all have in my consciousness, and that's why I have no idea, you know. I only see them whole and perfect. I only see them whole and perfect. I only see them whole and perfect. I don't know anything that's imperfect about you. You like that? Mm-hmm. Yes, she likes that. Now, when she sees nothing but wholeness and perfection in herself, then that's all she will know. And that's all you will attract into your world. No other person will come into your life unless they're whole and perfect. No husband, no children, no grandmas and grandpas, no mothers and fathers, no aunts and uncles and cousins and ministers and whomever there are in the world. Nobody will come into your world unless they are the greatest. When you see yourself as the greatest. Why do geniuses hang around with other geniuses? Why are all of your class students geniuses? Why, you know, this is a story I think I may have told you, but with Dolores it's a little different. There was this woman who was teaching school, and in teaching school, she was teaching the underachievers. And the underachievers were throwing spitballs and doing all their dumb things and doing all their stupid stuff as well as the happy stuff, you know. And so she'd done that for a number of years, and the underachievers continued to be underachievers, but they were okay. Then the principal said to her, you know, Evelyn, you've been doing such a good job. We're going to put you up with the overachievers, with the super, super, super students next year. So summertime came and went, and what happens in summertime? Changes in staff and stuff. And so the principal was shifted to another school. And so Evelyn came back to the school and said, well, here I am, ready for the overachievers class. Woo-wee! And nobody else in the school knew that. So they put her back in the underachievers class. But she thought she had the overachievers. And so she treated these rapscallions like overachievers, not like underachievers. They threw spitballs. They did all the things that they shouldn't do too. But she said, that's the way overachievers act. And she expected the best out of those students. Every single one of them. Every single one of them in that class. She expected the best out of them. Because she now changed her attitude. She's not teaching underachievers where she allowed them to be underachievers. Now she's teaching superachievers who want to be, you know, encouraged to be better and better and better. And so she's teaching them to do this. And at the end of the year, this is in the Reader's Digest, it was a story about it. not Evelyn's particular story, but her story too. But at the end of the year, that class graduated with the highest grade level of anyone in that school. And the teacher said, these are overachiever students, these are super students here. And the principal came up to her afterwards and said, Evelyn, I'm sorry, what made you think that you had super achievers? And she said, well, last year, you know, I was doing it for so long, the principal said he'd move me into the super achievers. Those were the underachiever class. Aha! Aha! You see, and you almost knocked her off her cradle there. No. But really, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Are your children super achievers? Are your children the best? This is what Dolores says about her kids. You know, in Canada, I'm not familiar with that in America here, but in Canada, they have such a variety of mixed cultures there living in one area. And these kids are all thrown on her to immolate and get them all to work harmoniously together. And so she tries to get these kids to work harmoniously together of all these different cultures. And there's only one way she can do it. And she teaches them all that they are brilliant. She teaches them all that they're geniuses. She teaches them all that they are fantastic. Now, a genius doesn't act that way, but she doesn't say that way. She says, a genius acts this way. And she says it just little by the class. By the end of the year, she has given them enough little the genius acts this way attitudes, and they have followed her pattern that they all come out beautifully. And so she's right in the middle of this class, right in the middle of teaching this class of students. And what happens? They give her another class. They give her a night class for adults. Adults of various backgrounds. Adults who are underachievers. You know, they don't want to remain underachievers. That's why they came to her class. But they were underachievers of the very worst kind. And she worked with these underachievers by just changing their attitude about themselves from I am an underachiever to I am a genius. And every one of the people in her class, everyone without exception, grew and advanced far more than they ever dreamed possible for themselves. But the biggest thing that came out of this was that they began to look at each other as classmates and see the good in each other. They began to look at this person who was not happy and this person who was not happy, this person who was not happy and this person who was not happy, and not even see it. They would look at this person and say, you know, they might say, I'm unhappy because I didn't get my boyfriend. And then they would say to her, well, you're the most beautiful girl in the world. What do you want with a boyfriend? You got to make yourself available for all the boys. You got to be everybody's boyfriend in whatever harmonious, beautiful, lovely way that you can be. You are universal. You are for everyone. These are the things that it is. It is done unto us according to our belief, and we are for everyone. Now, are you ready? Are you ready to take charge of your life, of your world, of your experience, to tell these undifferentiated stem cells from your brain what to do? Now, I want to tell you something that is a little different. Science will tell you about this in the next few years. They're getting around to doing it now. Every cell of our body is a undifferentiated stem cell waiting to go to work. Look under your bed and look at all those balls of material that roll around there. That's your cells, your fluffed off cells. Yes, you've heard of Sai Baba over in India. Sai Baba gives his babuda to his guests, which is his fluffed off cells. And of course, they think that's quite lovely, and that's okay. But the thing is, that's just fluffed off cells. Now, that's dead cells. You want the live cells. Now, why do you brush off the dead cells from your skin? When you take a bath and you wash off all the dirt and the day's activity, do you say, oh, what a beautiful body I have. Oh, how perfect it is. Look at this lovely skin. Look at this lovely thing. And you see, here's where we come back to the person with cancer. The person with cancer looks at their body and says, oh, how ugly. Oh, how terrible. And it becomes more terrible. The moment they would look at their body and say to it, you have the stem cells right there, and those stem cells are coming forth whole and perfect, and all of that which is undesirable or the old dead cells are fluffed away and rolled away. You see, our body is made up of cells. Our body is made up of stem cells, which are our original purity and integrity. And the stem cells, which are our body's original purity and integrity, are always there. They are always there, even though we have hidden them over with age, even though we have hidden them over with illness or anything else. The original stem cells, the original purity and integrity of our being is always there, waiting for us to call it forth into expression. Now, are you willing and able to call it forth into expression in your life and your body? Are you willing to put it into motion for yourself?
Yes.
I have a number of programs, and maybe tomorrow, as we have our service, and I'm going to work with you on the meditation, and right?
Yes.
And as I work with you on the meditation, I'm going to give you the essence of the 3-hour meditation and give you the essence of what it means to know who you are, know why you know who you are, and know how you can communicate with your divine self, which is quite exciting. Okay, now, all of us have these beautiful stem cells in us just waiting to flower forth. And if I were to say to Evelyn, touching her gently on the cheek, and say, you are gorgeous. You are fantastic. She never stopped. You are supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Now,
she says, I accept.
I have my own language for it. I know she accepts. But listen, why does she want some clown to come along and say nice things to her when she knows how to say nice things to herself so much better than anybody else? She knows how to make herself feel so fantastic, so much better than anybody else. Now, I would like all of you to practice and enjoy the benefits of the energy massage. Now, the energy massage is a very special massage. It is something that sort of encourages our stem cells to get out and get moving in the direction we want them to go. We encourage our stem cells to get out and get moving. You are telling your stem cells what you think about yourself. Now, what do you think about yourself? Do you think that you are wonderful, vital, dynamic, marvelous, exciting people who are the most thrilling things on the face of the earth? Is that what you think of yourself? I think you do. Now, as these exciting, dynamic, vital, amazing things on the face of the earth, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to say, I like me? Are you going to say, I love me? Are you going to say to your child, I love me? Are you going to say that to your child? Are you going to say to your child, I think that you're the most wonderful child on the face of the earth. You're the most glorious, fabulous being that has ever walked the face of the earth. Now don't giggle. I mean, this is serious stuff. This is real serious stuff. Yes, it is. Now, are you ready to say that?
Yes.
Yes. Are you ready to know that?
Yes.
And you've, of course, gotten the message by now. This is on a video. This little camera is making its own little video here, and also recording everything we say. Now, are you ready?
Yes.
Now, here is how we do the energy massage. And I will turn this off so that I can give my full attention to you on the energy massage. Okay. Your body is waiting to be loved. Now, there's never been a man in the universe who knows how to love a woman. And there's never been a woman in the universe who knows how to love a man. And the reason for that is that it is only your vibrations and your touch that you're ready to enjoy. So, you take your hands, you can go over your clothed body or your naked body, whichever you like. You don't necessarily touch the body, you can, but you don't necessarily touch the body, you just go over it. And your hands are energy sources. The power of the universe flows through your hands and flows through your fingertips. I've had Carillion photography done on my hands and my fingertips, and it showed the energy sparkling out from my fingertips in a most beautiful, dynamic, amazing way. And I was wondering, if I go to some person who calls himself a healer, who really is into healing, how much further their vibrations go. And then at the University of Los Angeles, University of California in Los Angeles, I was working with Thelma Moss on those things. And she did this photography, very beautiful. And it showed the vibrations, it showed the energy coming out of people's hands and people's bodies. Now, if you take your hands and go over your entire body and just say to yourself, I like me, I like me, I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me. And I have a microphone in one hand here, so I'm not using both hands, but I usually use both hands. I can do both. And so, I like me, I like me, I like me. And you go over your arms and your legs and your whole body. Go over the back and go over the front and go over everything. And it's not for someone else to do, it's for you to do. Because you are saying, I like me. You are saying, I am wonderful. You are saying, I am divine. You are saying, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. Now, if any of you have any incidents, cold, cancer, old age, you know, or even youth, or anything else that you like, you just say, I am vital, dynamic, alive. 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 You see, what you're doing, you're giving attention to yourself. You can sit there and pray, oh Jesus, be vital and dynamic and alive for me, and Jesus will say, get the hell out of here. I'm sick and tired of you begging me and working on me. I'm leaving so the Comforter can come. Now go do it for yourself. It's done unto you according to your belief. And you say, Herb, you are so irreligious. I am more religious than any religious person you have ever heard, because most of them say, Jesus, help me, you know, the praying hands like this. You know, I want to tell you something. Most of you probably never paid attention to this, and most of you probably wouldn't pay attention to it because you would not be aware of it. But what does the Pope do when he goes out to see his congregation out in the papal square? Now, you almost had it right. What does the Pope do? Does he say, gimme, gimme, gimme? Or does he say, I bless you? And his hands are turned down, letting the blessing from the Pope move out over his constituents, over his congregation, over his people. Can you do anything less? Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, world, help me. Hey, this is where God lives. This is where Jesus lives. This is where everything that's good lives. And it's only through flowing out from you that any value comes to you. It's only from giving that you will ever enjoy anything. Your heart goes on fire every time you do something lovely for another person. Every time you give to another person, your heart just goes boom. It's not how much. It's a matter that you give unconditionally. But first, you have to learn how to be unconditionally loving. And to give unconditionally means that you have to give with unconditional love. Now, do you know what unconditional love is? Nobody does, really. We think we do. We think we do. There's a story on the internet of this professor in Princeton, Harvard, or some big school, and he was retiring. He was retiring because he was dying of cancer. He only had so many months to live for pancreas cancer. And he had a very handsome fellow, very dynamic young man, perhaps in his 50s, 40s, 50s. And he had three beautiful young children who were still, 8, 10, 13 years old, and a lovely wife, I imagine, too. But the thing is, and he was a very excellent, well-received professor at the university. And he said, his dad taught him that you don't need credit. And when his dad died, when he was some 80 years old, his wife went through the wherewithal and the effects, and she found the Silver Cross given by the Second World War for service he had rendered in the war. But he had never told anybody about it. And this guy says, we want to learn how to be humble, how to give unconditionally, loving to all the world. Well, now, he did much of it pretty good. Until all of a sudden, he said, well, when I first was getting started in my schoolwork, I had to do some special work. And so I was working on my PhD, and I was working on different things, and my students who were working with me did a lot of work for me and was very helpful. So I took them all to Disneyland, and they all had a great time. Well, now, his humility, if it had stopped, they helped me, that'd be okay. But then when he went to get credit, he took them to Disneyland. You see, this is what we do. Oh, the Oprah Winfrey show where he was on and telling his story and making a name for himself was taken by everything he did. But the inconsistencies that we have in ourselves, where we say, one minute, my father taught unconditional love, he taught humility, he taught not needing credit, and then the next minute, he's giving himself credit. You see, here's this man who is a professor, a very educated, remarkable man, and just an outstanding fellow in every way. And there's little chinks. That's why he's having the cancer. He's having the little cancer in himself because he needs to have somebody give him credit. He needs to have someone appreciate him. Now, when Dolores teaches school, does she need the students to come up and say thank you? She runs away when she sees them coming to say thank you. She tries to hide. But the thing is, she doesn't need it. If she needed it, she would be a very poor teacher. But because she doesn't need it, she gives unconditionally. She gives all of her total heart. You see, we're an energy body. And this energy body does beautiful things when we give ourselves this energy massage. Every night, I recommend to you, and every morning as often as you can, in the privacy of your bedroom or wherever, you give yourself an energy massage. If you have to do it when you go in the bathroom, you know, that's okay too. But give yourself this energy massage. And as you give yourself this energy massage, all of your unhappinesses will fade away. All of your feelings of having problems will fade away. All of your illnesses will fade away. Yeah, but you don't touch. You just lightly go above the skin, just like you're sort of going over it and tickling the hairs. You don't have any hairs on your arm yet. But, or do you have hairs on your arm already? On top of your head you got hairs. Yeah. But you see, the thing is, when you just go sort of tickling along on your own skin and say, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. And that's when anybody can hear it. Because you don't want other people to say, what do you got to like? You know, but I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. And wonderful things happen. Then you say, well now, this is all well and good, but what does that have to do with the stem cells? Well, can you imagine a child who is recalcitrant, who is not a very nice child, who's a very naughty child, and the child is being naughty, naughty, naughty. And you go up to the child that's being naughty and say, you naughty little thing, you're naughty, naughty, naughty. And what happened? The little child gets naughtier. He just gets naughtier and naughtier and naughtier. Until he is so naughty, you think he's the king of being naughty. It's not a joke, but it's true. Okay. Now, do you think that your body is any different from that little child? Do you think your body is any different from that little child? Oh, you naughty hand, you naughty hand, you did a stupid thing, you did, you know, you've heard people do things like that, so silly. But you say, I forgive you. I forgive you. You're a nice hand. You're a nice hand. You know, you can stay with me. I like you. You know, but we are doing that. We are telling ourselves we're not any good. We're telling ourselves that we're not valuable people. We're not worthwhile. Okay, now you can understand that quite readily. You can understand what I was just saying without too much difficulty, because it's not too contrary to what you have already heard and experienced. Okay. How do you think you act when you say to yourself, wow, that was a good movie. Oh, I feel just like dancing on air and see that movie. It was just such a lovely thing, you know. Or you go out into the woods. You go out into the upper New York here and you stand on a precipice overlooking the Hudson Bay, the Hudson River there, and you look at the river and you say, what a glorious picture. Oh, I could photograph this and photograph this all the time with your mind. And you, what, you know, this inner bubble grows within you. It grows within, and you don't know that was going to happen to you. You went out to look at the Hudson Bay, the Hudson River, because it was just a lovely fall day and all the trees were changing color and it was so glorious to see. And so you went out there and you looked and, ooh, you drank it in. Ooh, you felt so good. Okay, now, you can do that to yourself. You can do that to yourself. Every morning when you get up, You say to yourself, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I'm wonderful, I'm happy, I feel so good. Oh, everything is so beautiful, everything is fantastic. I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. I like. And then what happens to you? What happens to you is you get up, no back pains, no upset body in anywhere, nothing. In the morning, when you lay in your bed and you're getting ready to get up, you kick off the blankets. And you say, well, it's cold, but you kick off the blankets. And then you stretch your arms out, stretch your legs out, and say, oh, what a wonderful body I have. What a great body I have. What a beautiful body I have. Normally you get up, you have a little backache, you know. But now you say, oh, I feel so good. I feel so wonderful. Oh, my goodness, I feel so good. You say that to yourself. You say, who am I kidding? I know the backache is there. I know this is there, and I know that's it. Okay, that's okay. But start kidding yourself. Start kidding yourself. Remember your class of the underachievers that you thought were overachievers? And you treated them like overachievers, and what happened to them? They overachieved. They became what you expected of them. So your body is going to become what you expect of it. If you think of your body as being whole and perfect, fantastic, dynamic, alive, vital, dynamic, alive, and you're wonderful. You're wonderful. I went to a funeral the other day. One of my building contractors, his wife died. And she was a nice lady. But she had a number of things that were making her unhappy, and so she decided to leave. You know, people do that. It's very silly. Very silly. You don't have to die. You don't have to die. You don't have to grow old. You don't have to do these things. And I talked with her a number of times about this before, but she didn't want to follow suit. She wanted to feel sorry for herself. She's a nice lady, super lady. But she was always doing for everybody else and not for herself. Always doing for everybody else and not for her own family, not for her own world. And she felt very guilty about that. Now, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't ever have to go to a funeral. You don't ever have to go to a memorial service. You don't ever have to go to anything, because it's just contrary to who you are. Who you are is divine. Who you are is magnificent. Who you are is the allness. That's who you are. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Okay, now. When you talk to your body and you say, I like me, 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 I like me. Give yourself this energy massage, maybe once or twice a day. It doesn't have to take a long time. I like me, I like me. Go over it once or twice, each area of your body. Can't reach certain areas, well, think of it, you know. I like me, I like me. And you have magic happening. Okay, now, what is taking place when you do that? What is taking place in your body when you do that? Your original purity and integrity of the cells there are reconvening themselves, are coming back into expressing themselves in their original purity and integrity, just waiting for you to tell them what to do. Now, the recalcitrant children, the children that are naughty, you say to them, my gosh, you're a wonderful child. You're so thoughtful. You're so considerate. Go away. Then you come back next hour or two. Oh, you're mama's little helper, aren't you? You're so wonderful. Then you go away. And you say, you know, you're always thinking of something nice to do, aren't you? And you go away. And you're seed planting. Not pushing it, but just seed planting. And pretty soon, the little rascal is fantastic. It's doing all sorts of great things, doing all sorts of nice things. But you planted the seeds. Now, you planted the seeds. Now, if you can plant the seeds in someone else so easily as that, why not start planting the seeds in your body about how wonderful your body is? Every cell of your body was a stem cell, was the original purity and integrity, and it's still in there. It's still in there. That memory is still in there of its original purity and integrity. That memory is still in there. That reality is still in there. That concept is still in there of your original purity and integrity. And what you want to do is to empower that concept to be brought forth. Oh, you're such a wonderful little girl. Oh, you make me so happy. My goodness sakes. And, you know, your mommy told me such nice things about you. And pretty soon you go away and you come back and you come back and you see. And, you know, your mommy told me that you know how to say thank you. Oh, you know how to say thank you. Oh, golly. Oh, my goodness. That's so wonderful. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, I'm saying that sincerely. I think when people say thank you, that's a very wonderful thing, don't you? Don't you think that's wonderful too?
Yes.
Okay. You see, this is what it's all about. And pretty soon, those cells revert to their original purity and integrity and begin to shine that forth in our mind, our body, our affairs, our life, our limbs. Did you know, physiologically, you are a joke? Did you know that? Physiologically, you are a joke. You are born with cells filled with atoms. And those atoms, each of the trillions of atoms, trillions of cells in your body, each cell has many atoms in it, and so there's trillion, zillion, jillion. So many cells we can't believe. And each cell, each atom by itself, has enough energy to light the city of New York for an infinite number of times. Each cell, each atom. Now, if you think those atoms aren't real, you've got another guess coming. They're real. Now, why don't we utilize that energy that's in those atoms to do it? Now, our body was not designed to need food. All the energy, what is an atom?
Energy.
An atom is energy, right? An atom is energy. What is food? Energy. What is drink? Energy. What is air? Energy. What is anything? Energy. What is God? Energy. What is the allness? Energy. We merely have our thoughts, and by our thoughts we coalesce this energy into patterns of what we call human beings or houses or cars and what have you. And every day we keep changing. And we're not limited by that. But we have taught ourselves we need it. So then, you got to eat vegetarian foods, you know. You got to eat meat, you know. Or you got to eat scotch and water, you know. Or whatever it is that turns you on. And that's what you got to eat. Well, isn't that silly? You're right, son. It's not silly. The thing is, think of what Jesus said. It is not what goes into the mouth, it's what comes out that makes the difference. You see, that's where you are and that's where I am. It's not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out. It's not what we eat. We can eat anything we want. And we don't need to eat everything we want or we've got a taste for, but it's because we've told ourselves that it's good. And you know who's told them? You have. You've told your children, that's good for you now. Eat it. That's good for you. Clean your plate. That's good for you. That's good for you. And the kids say, but I don't want it. Because it isn't really good for them. It's not against them, but it's not good for them. The only thing that's good for them, you're a beautiful audience, you know. He shakes his head in the right direction at the right time. You know, every one of us knows exactly what is for our highest and best. Many times children will eat on things or chew on things to supplement something that they feel they need in their diet that they're not getting. But again, that's because they have been told that's what they should have. Now, I would like each one of you, with your energy massage, to work that energy massage in such a beautiful way that you bring all this power up into your being. You bring it up because it's your original purity and integrity is in every cell, just waiting to be brought forth by you in its perfection. So, bring it forth by telling it you love it. I kept telling her, you're a wonderful child, you're a wonderful child, you do beautiful things. And pretty soon she blossoms forth like the most beautiful rose you could ever imagine. But only because I fertilized it and nurtured it and watered it and cared for it with love. If I had cared for it with hatred and anger and so forth, I would have got that response. Now, our body is the same way. Our cells are the same way. Do you love your cells? When you have a cancer cell or a hurt cell, do you say, oh, that's terrible, that's bad, that's ugly? Instead of saying, hey, I love you. I love you. That's okay. You can calm down. Anyone can tell me what a cancer cell does to have it be called a cancer cell? It's a cell that hasn't learned it doesn't have to multiply. It's just a cell that keeps multiplying on itself without being cooperative with the rest of the body. Now, why is it doing that? Why? Well, what thought would come to your mind of why the cell is doing that? Why is the cell multiplying? It wants attention. It wants attention. And it's not getting attention. I don't know if I told you this. There's a man, a psychiatrist in Hawaii, and he was called in by the Hawaii prison to work in the mental hospital of the prison with criminally insane men who are having quite a difficult time. And so the psychiatrist was asked to come in there, and he says, on one condition, I do it my way. And so, what does he do? He does it his way. He went into this prison. And when he went into the prison, he went to his desk. And he said, bring me their files. And each day, he sat at his desk and didn't open their files, but put his hand on their file, individually, each one, and said, forgive me for thinking that you are criminally insane. Forgive me for thinking that you need to be in prison. Forgive me for thinking, perhaps, that you're imperfect, that you have any problems in any way that need to be handled with such power. Forgive me. Forgive me, the psychiatrist said. He didn't do any. He didn't even know these people. But he was an attitude. And he said, forgive me. And they found within the next year the entire psychiatric ward was empty of any prisoners. All of those prisoners who had suffered the psychiatric problem were back to balance. Now you say, that's impossible. Well, it's of record. It's of record. This was an internet email object that came through from the doctor himself and from the people involved. In fact, the doctor has come to speak in the United States in a number of places. You may even know about him. But it's a rather remarkable story. Now, the doctor forgave himself for having the thought that that person was criminally insane. Now, can you imagine what happens in the doctor's life? Well, to tell you the truth, the doctor was proud of what he did. You know what I'm saying? The doctor was proud of what he did. The doctor did wonderful things for these criminally insane people. But his own life had many ups and downs in it because he did not apply it to himself. You see, in teaching in our philosophy, people about being practitioners, I tell them, be a practitioner and do wonderful things. And people just say, okay, that's a good idea. I'll be a practitioner and I'll do wonderful things. And I say, okay. Now, we have practitioners all over the world who dial healing words. And our dial healing words number is 1-888-254-8793. 1-888-254-8793. That's a toll-free number. Now, people call up and ask for treatment by calling our corporate number. But this is the toll-free number where they hear all week long a message that I put on there about healing, dial healing words. And these people say, wow, that was so great. Oh, that touched me. That did exactly what I want. It is exactly what I wanted to be. But then when they call our practitioners and they say, here's my problem, the practitioner will say to them, okay, it's done unto you according to your belief. It's done unto you according to your belief. You're healed now. You're perfect now. You're perfect now. They may have an illness. They may have relationship problem. They may have anything at all. It's done. 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 Now, does that mean because the practitioner knows the principle and applies the principle to them, that the practitioner applies the principle to themselves? Does that mean the practitioner applies the principle to themselves? Not usually. How very odd, how very unfortunate that the practitioner does not apply the principle to themselves. Now, if Evelyn, your minister here, Reverend Dr. Evelyn John, if she were to say to herself, I have the most glorious sanctuary in the world, which she does, and I have a sanctuary that is filled with very loving, caring people every Sunday and for every function, she would. If she were to say, I share my unconditional love with everyone, the place would be so packed, there'd be no room for anybody. Everyone would be like sardines, you know. She'd have to have 8 services a day. Could you handle that? She'd get herself a cathedral. You'd go get Ebbets Stadium, wherever, downtown, where they have the big stadium. What is that?
Yes.
Name.
Pardon?
Name.
Stadium. Yeah.
What is the name of the stadium?
Oh, New Life. New Life.
The stadium. Do you have a baseball stadium, a football stadium in New York here?
Giant Stadium.
Okay. I thought Ebbets Field in Chicago, if it's something like that, and Qualcomm Park out in San Diego. But anyhow, how many people does that hold? 70,000? More or less? Yeah. Now, could you handle that? Yes. Now, why don't you have yourself handling that? Or, better yet, why don't you see yourself having a glorious television performance every Sunday, or whenever, however often you like, and you have a message to give to people? You see, all of these people who have these television shows, they believe they have something to give to the people. They believe they have a message to give. Do you have a message to give about their stem cells? Do you have a message to give about their bodies? And seeing the body absolutely whole and perfect? Seeing the body utilizing every organ, action, function of the body in its absolute perfect faith? Mm-hmm. You see, the thing is, if you ever think, I wish, what are you doing? You're doubting.
No.
Hmm? You're not doubting? I said, when you say, I wish, you are saying, you are doubting. That's what I'm saying. Oh. You don't say that? What do you say, please? Louder.
I know.
Oh. She says, I see. You don't say, I wish. She says, I know. Well, I don't agree with that 100%. Okay. Now, so Evelyn says, I have a ministry. And my ministry is to share my love, my unconditional love, and my philosophy with everyone. And right now, I have all of the channels to share this philosophy in every beautiful, dynamic way, and they're open to me right now without me having to do one single struggle. Everything falls into perfect place. Now, could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? You're all very enthusiastic, I tell you. Yes! Could you imagine that?
Yes!
Yes. Do you think it's a good idea? Yes! Do you want to be a part of it? Yes! Are you a part of it?
Yes!
Are you a happy girl?
Yes!
It's up to you to get so excited, right? Get so excited that everything works out just perfect in every beautiful way, because you have put the cause in motion for whatever it is that's important for you. Now, what is important for you? What is important for you? What am I doing? Anybody tell me what I'm doing? Oh, number one. I'm holding up one finger here. That means I'm number one. Who should Evelyn do this for? Should she try to tell anybody else's philosophy? Should she try to tell the philosophy of the University of Healing if that's not her philosophy? If it is her philosophy, then she's not telling the University of Healing philosophy. She's still telling her philosophy. Always teach what you believe. Always share what you believe. Dolores, in teaching school, has a snap. She doesn't have to prepare anything. She doesn't have to prepare any books or any paper. She merely is an avid reader and an avid student of everything. And so she's on top of everything. And so they say, Dolores, teach this class in social sciences. Teach this class in economics. Teach this class in mathematics. And Dolores says, okay. And she goes in there and she teaches it the way she knows it to be. A wonderful, wonderful program. And the doors are open for her to do this, and they're open for you to do this. What do you want in your life? What do you want in your world? What would you like to experience in every area of your life? Tell these undifferentiated stem cells that are flowing forth out of your brain every day saying, Mama, tell me what to do. Mama, tell me what to do. Daddy, I want to know what to do. Oh, I want to know what to do, you know. Oh, you got anything special for me to do? No, you guys just wait a while. And then they get in mischief, don't they? When you don't guide them and say, you shine out unconditional love. Just shine out unconditional love. But what's unconditional love? That means love without conditions. Well, how do I shine out unconditional love, love without conditions? That means you judge nobody. You possess nothing. You are open and one-pointed in everything you do. Now, can you do that? Sure you can, if you want to give it a little attention. You can give this the most fantastic expression in your life if you want. And these stem cells are just eagerly waiting to go forth, as well as the stem cells throughout your entire body. As I said earlier, science will be reporting this in forthcoming years. Every single cell of the body is a stem cell with our original purity and integrity. Every cell came into the body undifferentiated, waiting for us to tell it what to do without any limitation. We can tell these cells what to do without any limitation. But if we wait, then the cells will be acclimated to the other cells that they're living with. They're known by who they're associated with. And they're associated with eye cells and ear cells and nose cells and body cells and thinking cells, attitude cells. Now, can these cells return to their original purity and integrity? Can these cells have washed away from them all of the attitudes which are not beneficial? Who's going to determine what's not beneficial? But can these cells, when we live with unconditional love, then we know what is beneficial. When you are unconditional love, you have everything in divine order. When you are unconditional love, you have everything flowing your way in every possible way, in every area that you could want it to be. Now, that's pretty wonderful, isn't it? That's a pretty exciting point of view. So, science gives the report, training my genie stem cells. My body is my thought. Stem cells do my bidding. How I activate my brain cells daily. I activate it by my thought. I activate it by my body massage, my energy massage. The practitioner living in me uses the tool of unconditional love. And now we are to the point of advanced psychology and its application. And perhaps you might like to take a pause or not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, listen to her. Oh, yes. She's been there, done that. All right. So, what would you like to do? Take a pause for about 15 minutes?
15 minutes. Okay.
So, it's 3 minutes after... three, is it?
Yeah.
And that'll be 3 minutes after 3:15. Okay, see you back here shortly, and I love you.